And he said, like, you know what? I would love to do a YouTube video about you, about the whole thing. What do you think? And I was like, I couldn't have asked for anything better.
Passive income. Putting up a great pricing strategy helps you with autonomy that you can do whatever you want to do. Kind of that's what we are in it for, and create some money doing so. So that's kind of the active income that you create for yourself. Is now, a lot of people talk about passive income. I've realized doing most of my income probably comes from passive income, is that it's not passive at all. Like, you've got to work for it. So even if you're doing stock market, like if you're investing into the stock market, you got to know what you're investing into, or you got to invest into people who know how to do that, and they will charge you for that as well. But making sure that you don't just place your money like wildly gamble, like you go to the casino and you place it on red and then have a 50-50%
right.
chance.
You're making an informed, intentional decision.
Like, I just had this.
And I think that's what passive income products are. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I just had this talk to this morning with someone who asked me, like we talked about drop shipping and like, oh, how easy it is. Like, you get something cheaper from China, you sell it in the US and you use drop shipping and you actually don't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how it sounds like. But one, you need to find...
That's how all the ads that I've seen, like, they're just like, change your life, like work from anywhere, drop shipping.
And so all you got to do, and it's kind of like this easy promise, like you only got to find a product that's cheaper there, you got to sell it there, and then everything will work out on its own. And it's like, yeah.
Set it and
exactly.
forget it.
And so for me, well, I'm just going to talk about me for how I've built it up so far. Like, I've started out with selling products on my shop, and it started with selling posters and posters of my work that I've created, and they didn't sell well at all, like nothing as I expected.
Same.
And so that was the first shocker that I had. I was like expecting like it to bring in money and that people would want to buy it. Like, you get these comments a lot of people saying like, "Ooh, I would love to buy this as a poster. I would love to buy this as a t-shirt."
Yes.
And
please make it a
exactly.
print, please.
It's comforting to.
And then you spend all the work to upload the artwork, get it ready, and then when you launch it, no one buys it.
And so from that was the first time that I've played around with like passive income, like creating a shop, creating to set it up, and posting it online.
Yeah, that's the first step for a lot
of
people.
But then I get that a lot of people would be discouraged for the first time and not do anything else after that. And for me, that was the thing to realize, like, all right, like, okay, it's not that great. Let's leave it where it is right now and keep doing whatever. The next thing was probably doing online workshops. So doing an online course with a partner that asked me to do them was Amanda Arneel. And I would never have done it myself if she hadn't asked me. Like, I wouldn't have recorded myself. And I think about it different now, but at that point, she was a godsend. Like, it was, she knew how to do them well. She is a great teacher. She knows how to make things teachable. And so I kind of followed that and made a lot of money through the first workshop that I sold, the Limitless iPad Lettering course. And I was blown away by how much it made, by how much I made through that. And then it just came in again and again. And that was the first experience.
Did you have expectations? Of like, I think it'll do, you know, $10,000 or like, and did it like way blow past that? What were your expectations? Because I had my expectations going into my first online course too.
I'm trying to remember what my expectations were. I know
it was a while ago.
I think I asked her how much it made, like how much the other made. And I wasn't really expecting anything. I was so competitive in the sense that I wanted to beat every other course that she has ever offered. So that was kind of my goal. And I was always going to ask her like, ooh, how much is it making now? Like, how much are we doing? And so on. But I don't think I had a clear set expectation. Like, I think I was happy if it made 5,000, like if I made 5,000.
Oh my gosh, that was my number two. Well, I know yours are structured differently because you do them with Amanda. So it's like a split similar to you. I started teaching online classes because Skillshare approached me And this is when I was living back in New York in 2015. They wanted a chalkboard lettering class. And did I ever tell you the story of how I got that opportunity? It's actually crazy.
Tell me about it.
And I hope it's inspirational to people.
Let's make it story
time. So when I was doing my, this is a good story time. If for those of you who have seen me speak at like conferences, I tell this story, but I haven't told it a lot of other places. When I was doing my Will Letter for Lunch passion project, where I was going around doing the chalkboards in New York, I had my flyers that I would go pass out to restaurants during my lunch break and stuff. And there's a food fair on Saturdays called Smorgasburg in Brooklyn that was near my new house. And I was like, oh, there's going to be like 30 food vendors. I'll be efficient. I'll go there and like pass out all my flyers at this food fair. You know, some of them are probably going to open brick and mortar someday. So I go hand out my flyers. And a week later, I get an email from somebody at Skillshare being like, hey, my CEO, Michael, passed on your information to me. We've been looking for someone to do a chalkboard lettering class. And he said that you passed one of your chalkboard lettering flyers out to him at Smorgasburg. And I was like, why was the CEO of Skillshare? Like, I didn't see him there. Like, there's no way. So I Googled him and I looked him up. And sure enough, I saw his face and I was like, oh my gosh, that guy was working at the soup stand. And it turns out that the CEO of Skillshare back in 2015 was helping his friend run a Southern style soup and sweet tea food stand at this little food fair every weekend. That was his, like, I don't know if it was a side project, if they were just like, he was helping a friend out. No clue, zero idea. But because I put myself out there and I was like, not afraid to go out and pitch my services, and I ended up passing my flyer to him. He happened to be the CEO of Skillshare. And that's how I got my first Skillshare class. And they came to my studio, shot the whole class, produced it, walked me through how to put together a curriculum. And for as much as like I think that creatives don't need a third party if they want, like you can make your own, it was so valuable for me to have that handholding mm-hmm. for Skillshare. I also did a class with Brit & Co, which is like a women's mm-hmm. lifestyle kind of website that teaches like creative stuff. But having someone else walk you through it, like I'm sure Amanda walked you through yours, so valuable. And I bet if push came to shove, you could produce your own class if you needed to, but it is helpful having that support, like the same way that you had Amanda or have Amanda support when you do your classes, I, you know, hire other people to help mm-hmm. me when I do classes too, because you can't do it all on your own.
I love it. Well, there's so many great things about this one story. Is just like you walked around, you chose a fair, like this, what do you call it, food?
It was a weekend food fair. Yep.
But it's like in LA, they have the same thing. It's like every Sunday. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I love it.
It's like a farmer's market, but for like boutique kind of food.
Exactly.
Things.
They have lots of food trucks and it's mm-hmm. it's really nice. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you chose a great place to actually get some flyers, like give them out. And then, of course, what came out of it is like people contacting you, like seeing your work, like, oh, yeah, this is great. So for anyone listening, if you have an idea, even if it's a simple one, if you want to showcase your work or offer something maybe for little shops, cafes, restaurants or something, like a place like this could be perfect because you don't know who you're going to give it out to or who's going to get it in the end. And maybe some people will reach out to you that you didn't even know. That's kind of the same thing for me when I post something on Instagram, like I don't know who exactly I'm reaching. And you'll be surprised who is following you or who they know that it's like who they could know and so on.
Exactly. That's what I always tell people too, is like, you know, I used to look at my audience as just, oh, I hope there are art directors and people who work at brands who follow me, who can hire me for client work. But in reality, there are just nice, regular people who maybe can't hire me, but they know somebody who can. Like, you really never know when someone is going to need a lettering project or whatever your creative skill is, and you just want to be front of mind when that happens. I remember I booked a project years ago where I was doing custom like tote bags at this event for Gatorade. And I asked the woman who hired me, like, oh, by the way, like, how did you find out about me? And she said it so casually. She was like, oh, I just asked my roommate if she knew of any letterers in New York, and she told me about you. Her roommate. I don't even know who her roommate is. That's incredible. But that is the power of the internet and staying consistent, right?
Absolutely, like, amazing.
Being front of mind. Being front of mind doesn't mean you're bombarding people with stuff, but it does mean you're consistently showing up, putting yourself out there. Sure, there are little tweaks you could probably make here and there, but simply showing up over and over again is the biggest thing. And if you're doing that, you're like, you've done like 75% of the work.
Yeah, that's the thing. I love that. It's like showing up is like being consistent and persevering through those hard times. But I've had this in the last couple of weeks where Instagram has been just been weird the way it's been acting. And only like this past week, I think I've released like three totally different images from what I usually do. And I've had a lot of fun doing them. And
so smart.
And it picked up.
I just wanted to say,
and I love doing them because it's finding a way to engage people, to make it funny and to kind of like bring some humor into it at the same time as like even trolling them on a sense. Like the free logo one was.
I was surprised when you posted the screenshot of the little bit of the trolling. I was like, ooh, Stefan's getting sassy.
Well, the real idea came from Ian. I gotta give it up for Ian here. Ian Barnard posted once an Instagram story of him replying to someone who said like, hey, can you letter my name? And he just wrote my name. It was stuck in my mind. And every time I see like, hey, can you draw me a logo? Like every time I just have to laugh because I really want to reply with a logo. And just because it's fun. And so I did that in a big scale and I tested it out on social, like on Instagram stories to see how people would react. It was fun. So
it was playful. I thought it was nice because it was playful and it was, you weren't necessarily, the way I interpreted it at least was you were relating to other designers rather than being like, shame on these people for asking us for free logo. It was playful. I thought it was playful. I thought it was in good taste. And you know, it's subtly too telling designers like, you know, your time's worth something, like you deserve to get paid. Actually, you did have some slides in there that said that. And
yeah, like value, your time has value, like bringing back the value to the artist and saying like, hey, you know what, your time has value, you don't have to offer your services for free. And to anyone listening that like, you do not have to do work for free. Like there's a difference between me offering my work for free and people asking for me to do work for free.
Art, like the podcast cover contest, because so, you know, the majority, it was well received, but as designers and like creators, we do a lot of work unpaid, right? We make stuff for Instagram. Like we are sharing our work for free. Like you might, you know, you spend a lot of time updating your Behance and like putting work all over the place for free. But at the same time, like it feels different when someone else approaches you with a project and is like, by the way, can you do it for free? So I think the contest is right in between because we were inviting people, right? But at the same time, the reward, it's like, it's optional. It's not like we are, I understand it's discouraging to designers, young designers, especially when you're only getting requests from potential clients who want it for free or very, very little, or who like haggle you down to almost no money. But there isn't a hard, fast rule on never work for free or is it okay? Is it not okay? It's up to you. And I think for me, it's always been, what is the payout? Is it worth it? Like some people will do a friend's band poster for free so they have a portfolio piece. Like it also depends on the person, if you know them. Like, because when we first discussed the contest, it's like, you sold me on it through the whole community aspect of like people can, it's for the fans. Like you and I are more than capable of making any artwork we want for this podcast. Yeah. So we just opened it up. It's not like we are a startup who has no money left for design and is just looking for designers to make something for free with the guise of exposure to an audience that's not valuable. Exposure to your audience and my audience is valuable for our community. And because it's, we made the podcast. We make this podcast for free right now.
We do make this podcast
for free. We'll honestly be making this podcast for free for a while till we get sponsors. Like if anything, we're paying to make this podcast because we hired an editor. Sonia, you're awesome. Yeah. You're totally worth the investment. But it's such an interesting discussion, right? Like doing unpaid labor, getting paid for your work, they both go hand in hand to eventually get you to where you want to be. Like, do you have any examples of like work you did for free early on?
Yeah. So a great example is wedding photography again. Like I come from that background, and it has helped a lot to shape my thinking about this topic, because when a couple comes to you and they say like, could you take our pictures of our wedding for free? Like, usually the kind that ask for free or for discount are like friends or like close friends of friends or something like that. The other way around is to ask like, hey, you know what? Like, it would mean so much to us if you would take the pictures, but we totally want to value your time, because if you take our pictures for free, that means on that Saturday, you won't be taking pictures of another wedding where you could make money. So you're actually losing mm-hmm. money in that sense.
Yes.
Because you're taking time to be at our wedding. Other people would say like, just, we would love to have you at our wedding. If you want to take pictures, like, bring your camera along. And usually then I would say like, I'm going to come to your wedding anyways, and I hate to stand around, so I'm going to do those pictures. And maybe I'll cut a deal where I say like, you know what, I don't want to edit them. So if you could give that to someone else, or I can give you all the raws, whatever, do with that mm-hmm. As you want. And then there are weddings where you feel like, you know what, this is going to be a great location. It's going to be like somewhere in the Alps. It's going to be in another country.
I've
like
always wanted to go there.
Yeah, yep. In Norway or somewhere. Like, I've done that. I flew to Norway to take pictures of a couple that was, one, they were really good looking. They were at a really great spot. And it was in a country that I've never been before. I could travel there. Mm-hmm. And so all these things came into consideration. I was like, you know what?
Yes.
I want to do that for lot less money, and they were super thankful, and I offered them that to them. So there's also the sense where you feel like, you know what, this is a great opportunity. I could get a lot more out of than something else. I did that with Peter McKinnon. He's a big YouTuber. Like, right now he has 4 million subscribers on YouTube. He has 2 million on Instagram. And
wow.
And I really wanted to do something for him. Like, nothing to get back out of. Like, I wanted to, one, to hang out with him because he is creative. He has a great story, and he's just like full of wisdom. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of my goal. Like, if I could go to him and draw on his wall, do a mural or whatever he wanted, I would have done it for free. And mm-hmm. so I even paid for the flights out there to his place, to Toronto. And while I was there, like, I was there only for 2 nights and short day. And I stepped into his car, we were driving out, and he said like, you know what, I would love to do a YouTube video about you, about the whole thing. What do you think? And I was like, I couldn't have asked for anything better, but it's up to you. Like, I'm here really to do just mm-hmm. you a favor and do whatever you want. And I also did a logo for him for his new brand, did like a skull, like a, with a funny thing that is now on all his merch and all his stuff. And I asked nothing for it. Like, he offered to pay, and I said like, no, you know what? You've been so kind to me with the videos you've done of me and the shout out. And I'm like, I'm really happy. And so that's when you offer.
It's all about exchanging value for value. And value is subjective to where you, depends on where you are. Like, yeah, like, I can't even imagine how much an actual like paid sponsored video on Peter McKinnon's YouTube channel would cost a brand. Absolutely. So it's really invaluable. And depending on what your goals are and what you are looking to do, you weigh out whether something's worth your time. Like, when I was a student, I entered my school's t-shirt design contest because, I don't know, I was 19 and the prize was $500 to the computer store and I needed a computer. And I figured, you know what? I'm not doing anything else with my time. I'll just give it a shot. And I won. And it's how I helped fund my first like iMac. And, you know, it is kind of up to everybody whether it's worth their time or not. Or what you said about going to take photos of that couple in a really nice location where you could travel to. That's value too. Mm-hmm. It depends on what your goals are, what you want. Like, I felt okay about our design contest because the prize was worth, you know, $1,500 and it would be good. I really hate the word exposure, but like, it would be good exposure for someone who entered and liked both of our works, both of our work, and wanted to get in front of our community as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I know Huyen personally too, which is great. Like, she's in some of my other classes. Yeah. And yeah, I mean,
all the pieces were great. Like
I think we
know most of the people who entered, like we've met them somewhere.
Yeah, that's true.
And the contest was also just like value for anyone participating. Like, I've seen so many great ideas, concepts of striving artists, like how they played around with that. And most of them, I think most of them did it while listening to our first episodes. And so it just, for us, it's just amazing to find ways how to include you in our podcast. And like, we really want to value someone's time. And like, I think the prize money was not for the creation part, was more for that we get to use the thing. And as like, because that has value, like as soon as it's up on our website, it's going to be used for something specific. And the other one, like, yes, we reshare them and we love them and we're excited about every entry we saw. So yeah.
It's true. And it's such a nuanced topic too, because, you know, everyone's entitled to their own opinion, of course. And, you know, I think people who know us and the podcast and the community, like, it's like you said, it's like, if you want to enter, you can. If you don't, like, I wasn't going to reach out to like Jessica Hish and be like, hey, you should totally enter our podcast cover art. We'd look.
if we did that, I would feel bad about doing that. And it's really not about like us justifying anything, but it's more about this question of like, how do you approach someone, or how are you approached by someone else?
Yeah.
And how, like, how do you feel about it?
For me,
when somebody approaches you that way?
For me, the difference that I've realized when doing work for free is, like, there have been times too where I've offered to do work for free early on. Like, if I really like someone's, what they're doing, or it's a friend, or if I can see the benefit to me, we'll let her for lunch. I was basically doing work for free. And I did get criticized for that. I haven't talked about this a lot, but I did receive just a couple emails from people when Will Letter for Lunch started getting a lot of press, like around the design blogs and food blogs. Anytime you get like a lot of eyes on you, you're going to have some criticism, of course. But it's good, because it's like, if everyone agrees with what you're doing, you're probably doing something kind of boring. Someone wrote to me, the one that I specifically remember was, someone was like, I hope that you know what you're doing is hurting other chalkboard artists and devaluing, you know, the value of what we do. And I understood that, but I also don't think the person understood the whole project of, I only do one board for people. I'm only doing one per week. Like, it's obviously a marketing thing that I'm doing for myself. And what I wanted to bring that back to was the formula in my head for like, when, why some free work feels good and why some free work feels bad, and like the reactions to it. It's like if you went into a bakery, right? You walk into a bakery and they have free samples of muffins that they've made on the counter for you to try. They're offering you something for free, and you try one, you like it, maybe you buy it. Maybe you don't too. Maybe you're like, ah, it's cool. I take so many free samples knowing that I'm not going to buy them. And I don't think it makes me a terrible person. Like, the bakery, the business is offering, right? The free. Now, if I walked into a bakery and went up to the cashier and was like, hey, can I have a taste of that muffin? Like, I'll buy it if I like it. That feels messed up.
Yeah.
And so it's the intention and like the, I think, almost like consent in a way of, it's still, someone could still objectively say, you know, doing work for free, like that's still bad, like you're devaluing what you do. And in a way, like, you are, because your time is valuable, but you have a bigger goal in mind. And oftentimes doing that unpaid labor, like me walking around with my flyers and you flying out, like, you and I both invested, you probably invested a little bit more money because of the flight, but we invested time and money into doing those things, you know, and they ended up paying out tenfold, 20-fold, 30-fold. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say with every single instance, but you as an entrepreneur and a creative get to make those decisions of what is going to be worth your time and what is going to be valuable for you. So don't let anyone shame you, but also stand your ground when you don't want to do mm-hmm. work for free. Like, it's your decision.
One thing that we haven't talked about when we talk about working for free, and it's not really working for free, it's more pitching. So a lot of companies, like in Switzerland, I know that that's a case, but big companies like the airport in Zurich, they have to, when mm-hmm. they have a design project, they have to get three different companies to pitch. They cannot award the project to someone unless they all have sent it out to different options, like if different agencies.
Legally?
Yeah, legally. Because they're a traded company on the stock market in Switzerland.
Huh.
In the architecture world, an architect will have to design a, like if it's a big building, like for example, an airport, like they will ask like different studios to design like the airport, like make a concept, make little sketch model and everything. And like, and sometimes the bigger the project is, the more work goes into it. And you have a maybe one out of three chances to get picked for that project and get awarded that that project. And so they do all that work for free. Sometimes they might get some money back, but not always do they get anything back. And I always thought this is weird, but at the same time, it's like if when I got asked to do the pitch for the airport Zurich, I didn't know the scope of the work. I didn't know how much I would make. I didn't think that I would actually get it at all because I knew the two agencies that they asked to do that too. And I was like one guy in Australia at the time. They didn't like the idea that I was in Australia. So they said like, oh, you're in a different time zone than us. You're not actually in the country. We don't like that. And I said like, you know what? But there's a great opportunity in it. I kind of sold them onto the idea that actually I can do a lot of work while they are sleeping and I could return all the stuff faster than an agency mm-hmm. ever would. But I was competing with two big name agencies and I was thinking like, there's no chance that I would get this job. And I pitched it and I just like, I didn't spend a lot of time in the pitch. I just created something fast and kind of mocked up like a couple of things. Probably the agency, they spent like hours and like days on crafting a well drafted pitch that they presented, and I ended up winning the pitch thing, and I got to do the whole project. But there's a lot of free work that went into it. The one of my biggest jobs that I've had, and I've talked this in my pricing workshop, mm-hmm. is I've spent 250 emails replying back and forth for a project that I,
that's so crazy.
That I, at, till the end, I wasn't sure, like probably till the last 10 emails, I wasn't sure that I would get the project. Like they weren't in it. It's kind of like,
yeah,
like showing at an ice cream parlor and then like asking, like having someone coming in and just asking for every sample and like, hey, can I try this? And then they're like,
I used to work at an ice cream shop and that happens sometimes.
And then you would not believe if somebody came then and was like, all right, I'll take everything. And can you make two more sets of everything? And you're like, okay, now this has totally out-earned itself. Like yeah. I've totally made back what I've invested into it, but you don't know. But the thing is, you really need to know if you're willing to do so. If you're not willing, drop it. But if you're willing to go the investments to risk this time and to risk see like where it can get you, the same way you did with the letter for lunch, you like stated clearly what your expectation was, like on you had a clear rules of how they can get in touch with you. And from that on, people could ask you to do it. And you got a lot of press out of it. You got some great jobs, opportunities out of that. And that's where I feel like this is a great marketing strategy. That's kind of where you invest. It's not really doing work for free. The work you did was kind of more of a marketing stunt.
It's investment, investment of time. It's very true. And so I'm a big believer in the unpaid work being stuff that you're excited about. Mm-hmm. Only do unpaid work when it's making content for your Instagram that you're like so excited about, or if it's helping out a friend's, you know, new brand, like get off the ground that like you really want to support them and you know they don't have a lot of money, or if it's, you know, making your own passion project, or you know, reaching out to brands or people you admire to, like you said, you know, I want to paint, I want to draw something for you, you know, Peter McKinnon. taking it upon yourself to figure out what do I want? And then if it feels good for you, I think that it can be valuable because you're going to learn and you are in charge of your own career. You're kind of like directing the ship, which way you want it to go versus, you know, this new startup, can you design our website? And you're trying to be a hand lettering artist. Don't do that work for free because it's not getting you where you want to go.
Exactly.
Be very intentional about how you spend your time. Like one thing too, that's another lever when it comes to like compensation and the work that you do is if you are going to do unpaid work, like whether it's on your own, like for yourself, like making stuff, like feels good, hopefully. If you are ever doing any unpaid work for another person or client or company, you should make sure you have full creative control. So like for Will Letter for Lunch, there were no sketches, there were no revisions, there were no come back and do touch-ups like I would with a paid chalkboard client. When you do your own work or when you do free work, make sure that if you are doing it, especially for like a portfolio piece, make sure you're getting the portfolio piece that you want to get, not what the client wants. And that's another thing too, is not even free work, but if there's a project where the budget is lower than you'd want it to be, but you're still pretty excited about it, one thing I've been doing lately is just negotiating. If the money, like if the number can't budge and the budget is just set, you can negotiate the number of revisions. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's only one round. Maybe you only show one sketch. Those are other things you can do to protect your time and to get the kind of work that you want and to make it, again, serve you in the long run. If you're not getting paid what you would want to get paid, you can still make it work for you too.
I love it. I think that's one great key takeaway is really so free work, you got to be in it. Like you got to see the benefit from doing it. Like it could be a marketing strategy, like the way you did Letter for Lunch. It could be potential for the future, like I did with Peter McKinnon. Like it was more for me, just for me, for my pleasure. And pitching, like if you want to take the risk and go ahead, then go ahead. Like for me, it was like, you know, what can I lose? They say no and I don't get anything. Like, yeah, no problem.
It all kind of goes back in the pot of, planting the seeds and not really knowing when they're going to sprout, but continuing to plant and water.
I would say amen to that. That is perfect. So work for free, okay or not okay? I would say it really depends. And it's your decision to make.
Yep.
We cannot make it for you. We've just given you a lot of information, background stories on what we've done, how we've navigated those things. And it's really up to you to learn to navigate those decisions, to own those decisions. Like nobody gonna own those decisions as you do. And you'll learn to say no and to say yes to the right things. And especially I hope that your no will be stronger and that you really get to enjoy the things that you want to do. And because The Striving Artist is about creatives with big goals and big ambitions, is really about you helping you to achieve those. And you will have a lot harder time saying yes to everything and just saying yes to your friends that ask you to do things for free because you don't want to disappoint them. And trying not to disappoint others will ultimately only disappoint yourself. So be careful about that. And yeah. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Striving Artist Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to share it on social media. It would help us a lot if you could also rate, review, and subscribe to the Striving Artist Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and or SoundCloud. This also helps us in ranking the show and would be greatly appreciated. We would love to hear from you via email, DM, or even voice message on Anchor. We'll see you in the next one. Bye.